The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Mahomes throws, pass, caught, Williams, touchdown! Kansas City jumps on top. Second and six, Williams makes a cut and will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. And they have done it. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and maybe there was a game last night. I don't know. Let's talk about it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a day after the Super Bowl Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe, with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And you can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch, or go to Twitch and click on ESPN975.com. Either way, and it's a Monday. Guessing everybody's hungover. I wasn't today. I didn't really drink too much last night watching the game.
I drink enough, but I also drank water. I prepped.
Well, there you go. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Well, because we had to be here early today.
Yep.
So, wow, 4:02 right off the bat.
To a good start.
That's a really good start. So there's a lot of stuff to process from that game last night. We were talking about it a little bit earlier today. I kind of feel like the 49ers did everything that they needed to do to give themselves a chance to win the game for the most part. They just weren't good enough. And once you got it, the Chiefs have done this all playoffs. It's they kind of look at their watches and say, okay, it's time to go. And they turn it on, and they did in the fourth quarter. But I really like San Francisco's game plan. I thought they, you know, you got a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. It's about all you can ask for against this team. And they just weren't able to finish because, frankly, the Chiefs were just better than they were.
I think that's probably the most accurate way to put it. And it's easy to, and my initial response was to do this too. And then when I was looking at it again today and looking at some of the play calling, and it's easy to say, well, Kyle Shanahan blows another big lead.
Yeah, and that's one of the first things people were saying.
I don't really think it's on him. I really think what it boils down to is what I said all along. Kyle Shanahan doesn't have the quarterback that can do the things that he needs him to do. And I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo sucks. I'm just saying Jimmy Garoppolo, down the stretch, and first of all, even when they were building their lead, Jimmy wasn't doing anything particularly, you know, jaw-dropping. He was just kind of there. But then when the game was on the line, when they were trying to seal the deal, from not only when they were up, but when they were down and in comeback mode, he wasn't very good. And to me, it's hard to point the finger at Kyle Shanahan for that, because...
Oh, there's a lot of people say, oh, well, they didn't run the ball. Well,
when would you have run it?
Here's the thing about that. The Chiefs did a really good job of adjusting and taking away some of that stuff. And, you know, the 49ers were going to have to throw the ball at some point. And I just think that, I'm not going to call this a choke. I know everybody's, you know, sending out the two biggest Super Bowl collapses in history. I never felt like this was a collapse, because I always felt like the Chiefs were the better team, and at some point they were going to get it together, and the 49ers were just doing a really good job of keeping them under control.
It's funny, because on Friday, when we were making our final picks, and I said, if you've got the Chiefs and you're down 10 in the fourth quarter, do you feel like you're out of the game? You said no. And that's, I agreed, obviously.
Right.
If you had the Niners and you're down 10 in the fourth quarter, how are you feeling? You don't feel good. And I mean, it's almost to a T what happened. The Chiefs were down 10 points in the fourth quarter. They or well late in the I guess what was
in the fourth.
Yeah, fourth. Yeah. They were still down 10.
Yeah, it was like 7 minutes left.
Yeah. So not only do they come back, they end up with a 10-point lead, 11-point lead, and the 49ers can do nothing. And it's basically exactly what we thought it would be. And I'll be honest, I looked back. You can go through the play-by-play in the box score and try to pick apart. And I'm excited for the All 22 film to come out on this because there's some of them that, you know, I've heard people say, well, the box was stacked, and maybe that's true. But going back and looking at it, when this is going all the way back to when they were up 20-10. And there was, you know, 11:57 in the fourth quarter, and the Niners get the ball. 6-yard run, Mostert. Great, right?
Yeah.
Garoppolo to Kittle, 12-yard gain. So, okay, wow, now you got another first down. Now it's first and 10, 10:37 to go. 1-yard run, Mostert. Okay, they're not always going to work. Second and 9, incomplete pass. Okay, I guess the problem is when it's second and 9 is one of those situations where if you want a first down, you're probably going to have to throw the ball, or else you're going to have to throw on third down.
Even a short throw that gets you 4 yards, yeah,
but yeah,
that's what you're looking to do.
But they throw the ball, it's incomplete. Okay, third and 9, false start. That's not
very
good.
Very Texan-like there.
Very. And then third and 14, I remember this play. Garoppolo ends up running for 3 yards, basically on a scramble. He was looking for something, couldn't find anything, got 3 yards. Clock moved a little bit, and they punted. Okay, the Chiefs go down and score. Now the 49ers have a 3-point lead. There's 6 minutes to go in the game. First and 10, Mostert, 5-yard run. Great.
Yeah, you take that every time.
Second and 5, incomplete pass, and it's an incomplete pass because it got knocked down at the line of scrimmage, but honestly, it looked to me like there was Kittle wide open.
Right.
And I'm not criticizing that play call because you had a man, you had maybe the best tight end in the league, if not the best in the league, he's the second best, going up against a linebacker, and if that ball's not knocked down, it's a first down, and now you're grinding on him even more. I don't hate it. And then third down, another incomplete pass, which it was third and 5. That's maybe the one where they threw to Bourne. Wasn't a good pass. I don't know if they were. It was either not a good pass or they. There was a miscommunication between what kind of route should be run.
Yeah.
Either way, if they run the ball there, you get to drain a little bit more clock, but you're basically saying, well, we're up 3, and we feel comfortable just saying, you know what, we're going to give Mahomes the ball and not worry about it because the clock's more important. I don't think you can do that.
No.
Like, if they were like, you know, if you were going to leave Mahomes with 16 seconds, okay. But if you're going to leave him with 3 minutes, there's no way. So that one, that's an iffy call, the third down, iffy. But it's not the worst call in the world. And then, obviously, once they're down after the next drive, the first play they ran was actually a run. And it was like damn near a 20-yard run for Mostert. And I don't think the Chiefs saw that coming. And then after that, you know, 3 incomplete passes and a sack. So they just didn't have it. So I don't know that, again, I don't know that it was play calling that necessarily doomed them. I don't know that it was clock management that doomed them. I just think it was Garoppolo, and he misses Emmanuel Sanders on...
Yeah, well, it would have been an easy touchdown.
Yeah,
he has those guys beat downfield. But, I mean, that's the difference is Mahomes made those plays in the fourth quarter and Garoppolo didn't. The one to Tariq Hill on the third down where, and it's easy to say, how do you let Tariq Hill get that open? But the reality is you can't keep those guys down the whole time. And that's why, you know, once that defense started wearing down a little bit, you started seeing guys get open. Mahomes made plays, and so did Hill, and so did Kelce, all the guys that we thought would make plays. And then defensively, the Chiefs were just better in the fourth quarter. And I think it's so easy to say, oh, well, they blew the lead, they choked. But, yeah, sometimes you need to look at the other team and what they did. And I think the Chiefs were the better team. I think they, especially in the fourth quarter when it counted. And I really think the 49ers played a hell of a game. And, you know, that score looks worse than what I think the game was, because they really did do what they needed to do to give themselves a chance to win. The other guys just did more. And it's so funny in the world we live in today that we have to go and, you know, somebody has to suck for losing. It's like, no, they played a damn good game. And
the 49ers are really good. And I said it last week and I still believe it. If you gave me a roster of, you know, everybody but quarterback, 49ers are, it's hard to pick a team other than the 49ers. If you get everybody on the team except the quarterback, the 49ers are right up there with, you know, one of the teams that I would take. I said all along, Jimmy Garoppolo is just a guy. And unless you have, you know, the old school Bucks or the old school Ravens, an elite, elite defense and an elite, elite running game, you can't have just a guy win the Super Bowl. And the 49ers, are they good on defense? Yeah. Are they a good running team? Yeah. Are they like all-time great elite? No. So,
but in their defense, there's a lot of teams they would have beaten yesterday. They just happened to run into the one they weren't going to beat.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And maybe the Ravens are the only other team that they wouldn't have beaten.
So. I don't know. That, I mean, I think there's a lot. The Saints could have beat them yesterday. Neither one of these teams played their A game, certainly.
No. But I think the other teams had a little bit to do with that.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there were a couple. The interceptions, the first interceptions, were just bad throws by both guys. I mean, the first one Mahomes threw, I'm like, what the hell? You're trying to throw the ball through the linebacker? I know you got a strong arm, but yeah.
It was a competitive game, but it wasn't, you know, some great masterpiece game where the two guys dueled it out. There was a lot of kind of bad football, but it was just, being competitive, and that's what we want.
But that's the Super Bowl more years than not.
True.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I did think, you're always going to give the MVP to a quarterback who leads 21 fourth quarter points. I thought, though, Williams would have been my choice. You know, two touchdowns in the quarter and the clinching run. And for all the talk of San Francisco's dominant running game, he kind of stole their thunder. But yeah, I think it's hard to argue with Mahomes.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like there was a slam dunk MVP because, I mean, he did have the long run to seal it, but it felt like before that, I mean, felt like Damian Williams was just grinding. So I don't know. I won't argue too much about who the MVP was. As soon as the game was over, I said, oh, they're going to give it to Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. They almost always do. If it's close, it's almost always going to go to the quarterback.
There was nobody who stood out as on defense. I mean, Frank Clark had another big game, it felt like, but it didn't show up as much on the stat sheet. So, you know, the interception came late. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much to argue about, in my opinion.
No. Were you okay with the 49ers play calling at the end of the first half with not using the timeouts?
I thought it was odd, especially, you know, if you were going to make such a ballsy throw late that like you didn't, you basically acted like you wanted to go to halftime down, or you were comfortable going to halftime like that, and then all of a sudden when you, when the time's running out, you're like, you know what, let's take one last big shot. If you're going to be aggressive, you should have just been aggressive. I thought that was odd. We disagreed about this because we talked about it this morning. I thought you don't like the OPI call on the Niners. I thought that it was pretty legit to me. And especially when it showed the replay, and basically you get the replay from the official's view, and he had the perfect view of him extending that arm out. It's a tough call to make, but
yeah, I hated the call because they were letting stuff go all game, and in that situation, and believe me, it helped me because my only bet of the weekend was Chiefs -1.5,
yeah.
So I was happy to see it. But the reality is, both teams were doing that all game long, offensively, defensively. There was contact all the way. There was hand fighting all the way. I don't know why you call that there. And if you're going to let him play, because it wasn't like he shoved the guy down. He extended his arm, yes. But
I think the problem was he did it right as the ball got there, so it makes it more obvious. You know, if you do that early in the play, but when you do that and you extend your arm and the next thing you do is catch the ball –
But he was also being held at the same time. So, again, I just don't like the call. I think it was and now the best you're going to do, though, is a field goal there.
Right.
I don't know that. His explanation for it was he didn't want to give the ball back to the Chiefs, which I get.
Totally makes sense.
And it almost worked. If that they don't get that call, they're going to get out with a 13-10 lead.
Yeah.
Probably. You still got to make the field goal. But so, I thought it was odd. But it damn near paid off for him.
Yeah.
I heard Lance this morning saying it was very Gary Kubiak-like. It really was.
It kind of was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, Shanahan, Kubiak, those roots run deep, friend. You know that. I also thought that, and I was glad that this happened, there was a couple times where it was super incidental stuff where defenders' hands touched the face mask or the helmet of the two quarterbacks. And there were people clamoring for calls. Dude, nobody intentionally smacked one of the quarterbacks.
No, it's just somebody's hand slipped up, things like that.
Yeah, or like when a guy was already getting tackled. I think it was Garoppolo late in the game. He's already getting tackled, and then the defender's arm got caught in his face mask or something. Like, don't call that. Don't decide the Super Bowl on something like that. If there was something intentional, nasty, sure. Nobody was trying to hurt either of those quarterbacks. The one play where Mahomes started his slide, and then I forget who the defender was that kind of jumped into him, but he ended up getting hurt on it. The defender did.
Yeah.
In real time, it looked like a cheap shot. Like he had clearly started his slide, but then you see the replay, and it's like he barely touched Mahomes. He basically dove directly into the ball. So I'm glad they didn't call any of this BS, babying the quarterback stuff that they've tried to in the regular season. I don't want that kind of stuff deciding Super Bowls.
Well, and they let the defensive backs be physical with the receivers,
yeah.
Which is, and with all that said, that's why I hated the call on Kittle.
It's fair.
Because everything else they were letting them play, which I'd rather they do, especially in the Super Bowl. You don't want cheap stuff. And frankly, there weren't many penalties, and the ones that were just obvious false starts and things like that. So, squeezing a call. Heath, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports, guys.
Sports to you, Heath.
Man, I'm a diehard Niners fan, and I'm also a school teacher. And you want to talk about just having to go through a day with just listening to kids walk by that don't even care about football. And some kids were really cool and supportive. Other kids just trying to give me a hard time. But anybody that makes excuses, we lost that game. We didn't get beat. I'd rather lost by 50 than to just give the game away. And I told a kid today that when you lose an assignment, what do? He goes, well, I have it, and then I let go of it. I said, exactly. We didn't get beat. We lost. We were the better team, and we lost. There's no excuse. We can't say it. No, that was a pretty good, clean game. I don't agree with the call on Kittle, but that's not why we lost. We had some questionable play calling. We had one drive we came out, first down throw, second down throw, and now we've put ourselves in a position where on third down we have to throw. Another play, Kittle set in coverage, set down behind the linebacker in front of the secondary, and Jimmy completely missed him. He completely missed on that throw to Sanders. I'm not blaming Jimmy, and a lot of people want to hate on Jimmy, and that's fine. We wouldn't have been here this year without Jimmy. We wouldn't have been here with C.J. Beathard. We wouldn't have been here with Nick Mullins. And we're essentially the Astros from a few years ago. I didn't expect us to be here at least for another 2 or 3 years. And we were in the Super Bowl this year, and week after week, somebody said, y'all aren't that good. Y'all haven't beaten anybody. And we just kept beating people we weren't supposed to beat. I was at the game in New Orleans. Fantastic, incredible game of the year. And it's gutting, man. The only good thing about football season being over is, I don't know, I can start to recover. But I'm fortunate enough to, I'm 35, been a fan since I was 11. And when my grandma passed away, before she passed away, she told me, you know what, I know you're disappointed. When we lost the Ravens, she said, some people go their whole lives and never could see their team play in the Super Bowl. So I try to think about the positive. It was a great season. I'm looking forward to next year, but, man, today was tough, and it's going to be tough for a while now.
All right, man. Well, I disagree with you on you were the better team.
Yeah, you weren't the better team, and you didn't give the game away. You got beat by a better team.
I will say this, if you don't want to blame Garoppolo, that's fine. I don't know that it's necessarily fair to blame him because I think this is what I've always known him to be. I mean, he was never going to be a Drew Brees or there's people who hyped him up like he was supposed to be the next big thing. He got a bunch of money. It doesn't make him a top-end quarterback. But I disagree with that caller saying we wouldn't be here without Jimmy because C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins, whoever, they could have done what the Niners did to the Vikings and the Packers. Hand the ball off a lot. And
eight pass attempts in the championship game.
I mean, now, would they have been as good in the regular season with those two guys? Probably not, but this team was built around having an average quarterback, and that's what the 49ers have, is an average quarterback. The Chiefs, on the other hand, are an average team with a special generational player quarterback.
And man, he's got such a career in front of him. The reality is third year to go out and win a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP. He's been a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
He's got his whole career in front of him.
I'll say this he's going to win more.
Oh yeah, there's no question.
And I don't know if it'll be with Andy Reid. I don't know. This is the kind of player, and we'll talk about this cuz RJ tweeted this out today, RJ Bell. If you were redrafting the entire league, would you rather take Mahomes or would you rather take the next best quarterback and any other player in the league to start your team with?
I would take the quarterback because...
Well, is the gap between him and the next best quarterback that far? Would you rather have Mahomes or Russell Wilson and Aaron Donald?
But I think the difference between... You know, the second best player, whoever we could sit here and argue all day who the second best player would be. There's 20 guys who could fit that.
Right.
So I could go and get one of the other 20 and be just as well off.
This isn't like a snake draft 1-2-2-1. It's 1-2-2-3-4-5 down to 32.
I'm fine with that.
You would take Mahomes over Russell Wilson and Aaron Donald?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, man, I don't think I could.
Well, and we could argue all day about defenders because... As good as Aaron Donald was, their defense wasn't good enough this year.
Yeah, it's true.
Just like when J.J. Watt was fantastic and the Texans won two games. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a defensive player for me. And I don't
I mean, it would have to... I mean, it would go with a quarterback.
Well, I know, but I don't know that a running back or wide receiver would make all that big of a difference. I mean, I think my 33rd best guy would be just fine.
Okay.
So, all right, we'll take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Guys, UFC 247 is in Houston this Saturday, February 8th. And if you need a place to catch it, Little Woodrow's, your Fight Night headquarters. They are showing the fights, of course, but they're also bringing the fighters to you. They're hosting meet and greets this week with guys like John Jones, Derek Lewis, Valentina Shevchenko. Kamaru Usman's going to be there. Juan Adams, the UFC Octagon girls, Ariane and Brittany. Tons of fighters, all the locations. They're all having something going on. Follow them on Facebook. They've every location has an individual page on Facebook, so check out what's going on at what location, or just check them out on Twitter or Instagram. And then come by Friday for your chance to win tickets to the fights at the Toyota Center. Visit their Twitter and their location-specific Facebook pages for more info. And again, you want to meet the fighters. You want to see them after the fights. Little Woodrow's the place to be. It's Little Woodrow's, your local Texas watering hole, and your home for UFC 247.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A32 says, as a fan of neither team, I don't know how the Niners didn't give the game away. Poor tackling, poor quarterback play, and abandoning the run. It looked just like the Falcons blowing it offensively. I would respectfully ask you to go back to the first segment where AJ broke down every single play that they did.
And there's maybe one play where I can see, man, maybe they could have run there. One play.
And as far as poor tackling goes, they tackled really well until late in the game when they wore down. Which,
by the way, the Chiefs didn't tackle well in the first half.
No.
It's football.
I know it's, but it's like I don't believe that you're a fan of neither team because I think you're looking at it from one perspective. And if you look at it from the way the Chiefs played, I think you'd kind of realize that it wasn't that they gave the game away. The Chiefs were the better football team, period. And the Niners did a great job of putting themselves in a good position to win the football game, which I think is all you could ask for. And in the end, they weren't good enough. And it wasn't that they gave anything away. The better team won.
And I think I don't think the 49ers are going to like suddenly go away.
No.
I think the 49ers, I think it's very similar to what you've got going on with the Rams. I think you have a special coach. I think those two guys are in 5-10 years, we're going to talk about them as the two best coaches in the league, because I think Bill Belichick will be gone. I think a couple other guys will be gone. And I think those two guys are the future of the NFL coaching, in my opinion. They both have sort of the same issue. They've got really good defenses. They've got nice running games. At least they did when they went to the Super Bowl, the Rams. What you've got is a quarterback who is serviceable. And you've got to build. You're married to that quarterback. In both cases, they're married to him. They've got a lot invested in him. Are they good enough to win a Super Bowl? I don't know. They either have to develop, or those coaches are eventually going to have to say, you know what, we've got to find a different guy. But it's very similar. I think that everything's in place, except for Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo. And not that those guys are bad. I just don't know that they're Super Bowl level quarterbacks. I don't know if you get into a game like this, with everything on the line, if you feel good enough with those two guys, either one of them as your guy. With Andy Reid, you know that you've always got a chance. You can't say that about Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't look at Jimmy Garoppolo and go, you know what? With him, we're always in a game. Because that's just not how that team's built.
I think the Jared Goff comparison is a good one, because those guys, they can, as long as they've got people around them, they can win. And I think you can win a Super Bowl with those guys, but everything else has to be in place. They're not going to be the reason you win.
Right.
And there are other quarterbacks in this league that will be the reason you win, Patrick Mahomes being one of them. I think Lamar Jackson has the potential to be that kind of guy. There's several guys that do that.
Well, Lamar Jackson's a little different because you have to build a system to fit his skill set. I don't know that you could just plug Lamar Jackson in on the Browns and suddenly they're good.
No, but
Patrick Mahomes, whatever team he's on, they're a contender.
I don't know if Bill O'Brien had him. I don't think so.
Okay, take the coach out of the.
Well, how can you take the coach out of the equation if you're talking about any other team?
I'm talking about the player. You put him on the field with the Browns. Like if the other 52 Chiefs got traded out for the other 52 Browns, I'd like that, okay, new Browns team.
As long as he still has Andy Reid, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good fit. And I mean, yeah. Coach is obviously important. And the, like I said about the Niners and the Rams, the last two NFC Super Bowl losers. I mean, they've got special guys. It's just, again, you've got to find the right quarterback to go with them.
But getting back to Lamar Jackson, isn't that good coaching to change your system for your player?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely it is. But it's not. It didn't happen overnight. They realized this is what we've got now. This is how we need. And I think you don't make that draft pick without the foresight to say we've got to fundamentally change what we're doing if we're going to spend a first round draft pick on him. Which, by the way, I feel like not as to the extreme, but I feel like whoever picks Joe Burrow is going to need to realize, hey, we're going to have to really change fundamentally the way we play football if we want Joe Burrow to succeed. And the Ravens are a great organization. John Harbaugh is a great coach. I knew they would do it. I don't know if, you know, the Bengals or somebody else, if they were to draft Lamar Jackson or if they draft Joe Burrow, I don't know that they're going to be smart enough to figure that out.
No, and that's why landing in the right place is so important, which is why when Mahomes was drafted by Kansas City, it was almost a dream scenario. It really was, because you already had Alex Smith there. And he had time to develop, and you knew that Andy Reid was going to find a way to get the most out of him. And I think you tweeted it out about Cliff Kingsbury. And
isn't it unreal? Cliff Kingsbury had a losing record with Patrick Mahomes and then got fired and got a better job. Got two better jobs.
Yeah, he did. What are you going to do? Squeeze on Johnny. Go, Johnny.
Sports guys.
Hello, Johnny Sports.
I just wanted to call in. I don't know. I'm not a Chiefs fan or a Niners fan. I'm a Patriots fan, but disclaimer, I'm not a bitter Patriots fan. That Mahomes was able to get off to, I think that running back, when he was kind of extended toward the pylon, but his foot was out, and they went back and reviewed it a little bit. I don't know. I think the NFL is kind of like doing it weird. So if the referee sees something, but it's not a complete 100% guarantee that it's good, shouldn't they consider it more during the replay instead of having the whole, it needs to be a clear-cut reason to overturn it? Like, I mean, isn't that the point of the replay, to get a better look at it and maybe we miss something?
The problem would then be Mahomes, you just have to... Like
Williams was...
Yeah, the problem with that would be you just have to stop making calls on the field.
Yeah.
So, like, after that play, everybody just stands around and says, we're going to go look at the replay, then we'll decide if it's a touchdown or not. The ref called it what he thought it was on the field. There wasn't indisputable evidence to overturn it. It happens 100 times in the regular season. It's not that big of a deal. And honestly, there's no way you could look at that replay 100 times from every angle and go, you know what? He was definitely out before the ball was over the line. Yeah,
It looked like the tip of the ball was crossing the line as his foot went out of bounds.
Same. And it's not a call you can overturn, certainly. But
yeah, it's not,
they're not going to change the way they do replay. Nope. I mean, the way they do replay actually works, because that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to make the call on the field, and then when it's an important play, which a scoring play or a turnover are deemed important plays, then you check and make sure you're right. And in this case, they did all their due diligence. They checked, made sure they were right, and they came to the conclusion, well, we're definitely not wrong. So there was no egregious, you know, evidence to say that he stepped out of bounds before the ball crossed. My biggest beef was how do they not have a straight down the line angle at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, how do you not have, like, there should be a million angles for that game. How are they having to, like, piece together things? That's very odd.
Also, he said he wasn't bitter Patriot. What does Patriots fan have to be bitter about?
Well, Patriots fan didn't make the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, my God.
They're flipping tables over. Like, what the hell? Another team from the AFC got to play for it. It's BS.
Making bad commercials. That's what they were doing. Eagles won a Super Bowl with Foles and Wentz, so the Niners and Rams could win with Goff and Jimmy G from Greg. And the reality is that Eagles team wasn't. It's exactly what I was talking about. You can win if everything else, you know, the quarterback manages the game well and everything else is elite. And that Eagles team was really good at a lot of positions.
Well, that Eagles team also got on a hot run. They, you know, like Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl because he got right at the right time. Nick Foles played out of his mind at the right time.
Yeah, and they played elite for three games.
Yeah. And it's not that, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm sure he could. There's probably a three-game stretch in his career where if he played those three types of games in the playoffs, yeah, he could win a Super Bowl. But the question is, like a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who played probably a C-minus game for him, is still good enough to beat you. You know, that's tough.
Well, because he's going to make some plays that win the game
always
for you. And that's what he did.
And you don't know that about Jimmy.
Somebody brought up something that I wanted to get to today. Did you see that? What a bad beat it was if you had Patrick Mahomes rushing yards.
Oh, that's why I didn't want to mess with that game. Everybody was talking about that number, and I
loved it. And I didn't. Like I said, the only bet I made was Chiefs minus 1.5. I just said, you know what? I'm not going to screw around here. I'm not going to play all these stupid props. I'm just going to bet the Chiefs, and I was happy that I did. But that was the one I looked at the hardest, was the over 39 yards or 29 yards rushing, whatever it was. 29.5, I think. And then I'm watching at the end, and not only is he taking a knee, but he's losing 5 yards every time.
He's like running around.
And I'm like, this is probably not going to work out well. And it didn't. So the funniest thing that would have been hilarious for all the under players, I mean, it wouldn't have been hilarious, but when he just flung that ball down the sideline,
if he
throws that in bounds, that's a touchdown. Yeah. I was like, that would have upset the over players. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. And guys, if you're having to heat or cool your house at night, which you are, because some nights it's freaking hot and some nights it's freaking cold here, it's really unpredictable. If you're doing either, the pros at Allstate Siding and Windows can help you out by checking your older windows for drafts. And here's the kicker. They'll do it for free. Call Allstate Siding and Windows today for your free window inspection. Plus, you'll get 30% off all window packages if you choose to go with them. $2,500 for all full siding jobs. Family owned and operated for over 45 years. Military discounts, senior discounts. This is the kind of company that you want to do business with. They've been around. They're going to be around. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Give them a call today. See what they can do for you. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or connect online at allstatesidingandwindows.com. You're going to start to save money. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Kind of working on a column for Wednesday on where the Houston O'Briens are in relation to the truly elite teams in the AFC. Because the Super Bowl odds are already out, but I don't really trust these this early because so much has to happen in the offseason. And basically, they're just taking the teams that they know were good last year, right?
Yeah.
So, like, your three co-favorites for next year are the 49ers, Ravens, and Chiefs at 7-1. Saints 10-1, Patriots 12-1, Packers and Eagles 15, Seahawks 18, your beloved Dallas Cowboys 20.
All right.
And then at 25-1, Titans, Vikings, O'Briens, and Steelers, and Rams. So really, your co-fourth choice in the AFC, which is about right,
yeah,
with Tennessee and Pittsburgh. I mean, assuming with Roethlisberger back, the Steelers are going to be good. But that's a pretty big gap from 7-1 to 25-1. But, I mean, a lot of it is just, okay, those teams were so dominant this year. So much can change between, you know, will there be a hangover for the Chiefs? Will Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend ruin his career, which I think there's a good chance of that. You know, does Lamar Jackson stay healthy for the whole year? I mean, those are all legitimate questions, but I'm kind of getting into what the, you know, where the Texans need to be.
Right.
So we shall see. Somebody asked, what'd you think of the halftime show and were there any commercials that stood out? I'll just say that halftime show, I'm not the target audience. That was when I went to get beer. It wasn't for me.
Okay. Why not? You don't like booties?
No, I like booties, but I mean, I can see those anywhere. And I mean, I felt like, you know, musically it was pretty boring. And, you know, it's just like I said, I'm not the target audience. I'm not who they were trying to impress.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, it was fine. Hot chicks.
But yeah, they're hot, and that's
great. I'm not that worried about the halftime show.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Or the commercials, for that matter. But I'll say one commercial that I found myself going, really? Why? Why does Porsche feel the need to run commercials during the Super Bowl? Consider that. Like, is anybody like, I'm on the fence. Should I buy a Porsche or a Hyundai?
And then or a Kia.
And you see that Porsche commercial and you're like, you know what? That's really swayed my decision. I'm going to go for it. I mean, it just seems like a waste of money. Like, people who are buying Porsches, they don't need to see a commercial. It's more thought out than that. You're not going to get somebody to impulse buy a Porsche.
I wasn't really paying attention, though, but wasn't an electric Porsche?
I don't know.
I think that's what it was. So I guess they're saying, hey, we're getting into the electric car business.
Well, I don't want
what?
An electric Porsche.
Well, I mean, those things are expensive enough as it is. You throw a Porsche on there?
That's like saying, oh, yeah, I've got a, I want like a, an early 70s model GTO, but a hybrid. Like, well, that takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, no kidding. No, there were only three that I remember, and they're all for different reasons. The Rick and Morty commercial I remember because I love Rick and Morty. I like the Jason Momoa commercial.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I thought that was pretty funny. And then the only other one that I really remember was Dead Loretta, because that was the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
I was trying to be funny. Just never a good thing when you're in a group of mixed company. And I said, why is he so worked up over her? She wasn't even that hot, even in her prime. And there, I got hit. Mm. Yeah, not good.
Well, plus, I'm kind of, you know, the thing that started worrying me is, all right, if I get to this point where my memory's going and I'm having to count on Google, that's an awful lot of details that they have about me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they got my whole life in there. It's kind of like, you know what? I'd just as soon not remember. I'd be okay with that. So, yeah, it says pretty uncomfortable watching with my mom and grandma's J-Lo did her stuff. I'm not going to say everything he does. She said, I don't know, man. For me, it wasn't all that interesting. So I didn't really pay any attention to it. And I mean, I gave it like 2 minutes and I'm like, yeah, obviously they don't care for me here. This is, I'm not their audience, which is fine. I mean, but you know, it's funny. I don't even remember what that commercial with Momoa was about.
I don't remember what it was for either.
Yeah. I just thought it was good. But that's it. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. But overall, it was a fun day, man. I enjoyed the game. Probably, I enjoyed it a lot more when Kansas City took the lead. Because I was,
yeah.
I kind of told you how my gambling weekend went. I started off with a decent, well, small amount in one of my accounts. And played two soccer matches Saturday morning because I've been getting up watching Premier League. And Liverpool -1.5 was just a gift because they won by 4. And then I played a draw and hit that. And then I played my hockey over Saturday. And then I rolled all of it and didn't mess around with anything else. Just rolled it all over into Chiefs -1.5. So it was a good day.
That is always nice. Yeah, I dug myself out of a little hole because I was 0-3 on college hoops on Sunday. I needed it.
Steven, the weather guy, says, I enjoy the people commenting on the 911 show commercial saying tornadoes can't happen in Austin.
Yeah, that was stupid. I retweeted some guy and was like, oh, I mean, it said on his thing, lives in Austin. I was like, oh, hello, person who doesn't live or who's lived in Austin for 6 days. A tornado leveled my home when I lived in Austin. And then I said, I'm just kidding, but for real, those things happen. Tornadoes happen there.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. So is that based in Austin, that show?
I don't know. I didn't watch that stupid show.
I don't either. I mean, I just know it's 911 Lone Star, which means it's somewhere in Texas. I just assume they put it in Dallas, and if there's a tornado, well, you know, Dallas has a bunch of those. You know, not enough, you know, because it's Dallas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, especially, really, the only place you don't have tornadoes big like that is down here near the coast.
Yeah.
Anywhere else in Texas, you can get them.
Yeah, it's supposed to be based in Austin.
Oh. Okay. I guess that could be good because you have a lot of people on 6th Street dying.
Dude, Austin, there's the craziest weather in Austin. I mean, it'll hail sometimes there for no good reason. I mean, it's Central Texas weather is weird, man. And but tornadoes legit happen there.
I get a lot of people asking, you didn't like this commercial? You didn't like that? Those are the only three that actually I remember. I mean, the rest of them, I'm just, again, I don't watch the game for, I watch the game for the game. And not only the halftime show's not for me, but all the BS before the game is not for me. I just want to watch football. I want to see the game. And I don't care about the pageantry. I don't care about little kid commercials with him running the ball in at the beginning. I just don't care about those things. And so, yeah, you can throw 100 commercials at me, and I'm going to, you know, if they stick in my head, then okay, they did a good job. But I don't sit there and grade the commercials and say, this was great, this was bad. It's just, you know, that's not fun for me. All I care about is the game. And maybe that makes me old or makes me old-fashioned or makes me a dinosaur. I don't care. If I'm a dinosaur, I'm a raptor. And I'm happy with that. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.